So, you know, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. You guys already know this because we went through a whole section on media and all these other things. So these questions should be very familiar to you guys, okay? The actual numbers are a little bit different because we use different sources. My source comes from the United States Department of Health and Human Services. It's from an article I found in the Christian Post. Really good article. It's free online magazine. But it talks about all these Christian issues and stuff like that. So this is what I got from there, okay? Can you guess how much time a month does the average American spend on social networking? Huh? 30 hours a month. Wow. Yes. Wow. So if this is your real life, my numbers are really skewed. Okay? huh? 100 hours in 1 month. There's only 24 hours in a day. Good Lord, man. How many? You're just on social media nonstop. Wow. So this is what I got. Like I said, the numbers are a bit skewed. But this is how much on social media. Okay, or on social networking like Facebook and stuff, it's about 8 hours a month. That's what it says. That's what it says. So, I know that's what I'm saying. You guys aren't. Wait. So here's the thing: 8 hours sleeping, 8 hours school, what? 8 hours social network? Well, nobody sleeps 8 hours, so that's what suffers. You're sleeping. Not me. Okay, next question. How much time is spent, okay, average American youth spends time watching television offline, whether Hulu, Netflix, YouTube, or any of these things? How much? Yes. You're right on spot. 60 hours a month going to outside TV sources. Okay. Now, this is a general question. For all Americans, it doesn't matter the age group, okay? When is the peak time for watching television online? Is it during lunch break? Right before bed? Right after work? Or during the work day?
Right before bed?
Yes. Right after work? You know what the truth is? A lot of Americans are cheating their bosses because the answer is during the work day. I don't know anyone who does that. They would be fired. Don't do it, guys. Don't do it. Okay. If you added up all the minutes on social media that was spent in the month of July in so that might be the reason. This study was done in 2015. So we're 4 years past. So, according to NBC News and the social media giants, right, in the month of July in 2015, if you added up all the minutes that was used by all Americans in the month of July, how many years would that add up? There's 60 minutes to an hour. There's how many hours in a day, right? How many days in a week? How many weeks in a month? So we're talking about this, how many months in a year? So all these minutes accumulate to a certain amount of years. Do you know how much that was in 2015, just for the month of July? Oh, you're way too low. Try it. Watch much higher. Hundreds of thousands. Yes. Not more than 100,000. Yeah. So altogether, it adds up to 230,000 years in just 1 month. That's kind of crazy, right? How many billions of people are on that? Just imagine. I can't even know. Okay, next question. How much time does average American spend on Netflix a month? Spend time on. Man, I know just yesterday I just discovered a new anime on Netflix and I went like 5 hour binge real quick. Oh my goodness, that was terrible. See, my wife is shaking her head. I love you. I just discovered, and just, you know, that next button, you just hit that next button, the next episode. You don't even have to watch the credits. It gets you right into that juicy point. Oh, Netflix. Oh. How many hours a week, how many hours a month are spent on that? Over 22 hours. 22 hours. Okay, now let's break that down on the daily averages. Okay, you guys said not even 8, so I'm kind of scratching my head, because the average adolescent in America spends how much time sleeping? More than 8 hours, less than 8 hours? Wow, so my numbers are totally wrong. Maybe this is not for the Chinese American community. Maybe this is a whole different animal here, right? Maybe this is all in the middle. I shouldn't say that. But it says about 8.6 hours a day. Is that true? Do you guys spend 8.6 hours sleeping? No. Okay. 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 Hold on. On an average day, how much time do you spend with schoolwork or homework? Oh, that's actually kind of low. Yeah. So what my number is 6.8 hours a day. And studies, whether study, so not just your class time, but whether in studies at home or studies in school. All right, high school. More like high school. High schoolers, is that right? About 6 hours a day in studies? No. 8 hours sleeping, 8 hours school. If you're in something else, yeah, you don't have time to do anything. Okay. All right. Media and communication. How much time does that take in your day? Texting people, saying hi, socializing through IM. How long does that take a day?
1 hour.
Actually, that's kind of low. So my number says about 2.5 hours a day on media and communication. Okay. Where this is a time where you guys just chill out and do absolutely nothing. How many hours a day is that? Where you just veg out, like you don't have to do nothing, your mind is nowhere, you can, you know, just lay down in bed. 30 minutes. 5 minutes. Wow, you guys are way too busy. About an hour and a half. About an hour and a half of just chilling out. Let your mind just be free. Okay, how much time is spent eating and drinking? No, about 1 hour. I don't know. Our Chinese community, we eat fast though, so I don't know. But the Chinese, if y'all didn't go to the picnic yesterday, my goodness. Like, I'm just so impressed by y'all. Like, it's not just one table, two table, three table, four table, five, six, seven tables worth of food. And not just seven tables worth of food. Like, there's stash food. So there's all these pots and pans underneath. So when the top stuff gets all taken, they refill it. I was like, my goodness. So I don't know. Maybe a little bit more. But it says about an hour a day. Okay? Playing sports or other extracurricular activities. How much every time a day? See, once again, I think it's different for our community. Most of us take piano lessons and band or all these other things, so I think that number definitely goes up. But on average, it says about less than an hour, 0.7, about 0.7 hours every day. Okay? I don't know. Okay, let's continue. Grooming, standing in front of a mirror and saying, oh, man, I need to comb my hair, or man, I need to brush my hair. About how long? I don't want to be sexist here. I don't want to be sexist. So I don't know. Who spends more longer, boys or girls? Who spends more longer getting ready, the boys or the girls? Boys? Okay. Either way, it's just under an hour at 0.9 hours a day. So, like I said, I don't know. It could be different. Okay, volunteering. How many of you guys volunteer and do different things in the community? I know a lot of us do that. Yes. That, on a daily basis, comes out to about half an hour. All the other categories, okay, except for one, which is religious activity, all the other categories in everyday life in an average youth comes about to just under 2 hours, 1.9 hours. Do you want to know, regardless of denomination or faith or anything else, do you want to know what every youth in the United States, every youth, Okay, not just here, and just in generally speaking, every youth in the United States spends how much time in religious practices or religious activities? Can you guys take a guess?
Zero.
It's not zero. Well, not completely zero. It's 0 point something.
0.3.
No, not to the tenths, not to the hundredths. 0.1, exactly. 0.1 hours per day. If you guys can't do the math, let me break it down for you. That's 6 minutes. I'm going to reference this so you guys laugh, but also the seriousness of this, okay, on how this is a real problem here. This morning I got up, I ate 2 bowls of cereal, brand cereal last night. It did a number on my stomach. As soon as I woke up, I went to the toilet. I spent 10 minutes on the toilet. Right? Okay, I said it was kind of gross. It's supposed to make you laugh, but this is the seriousness of it. I spent more time on the toilet doing my business than y'all did spending time with God. That's something to think about. See, that's something to think about. Yeah, I can't argue it. This is from the National Department of Health and Human Services from today. Okay, you can say whatever. I can't argue it because that's where it was found, okay? But the point is, see, there's no arguing that in this day and age, everyone is about instant gratification, are we not? For example, you know, I love In-N-Out. I really love In-N-Out, and I really love Chick-fil-A, both of these places which are right over here, down the road from us. You know why I never eat there? Even though I love it. No, not because it's fast food. I don't mind fast food. Look at my body.
Big body.
I don't mind fast food. You know why I don't go eat there? That line, my goodness. Like, you go in there, you literally got to wait like 20 minutes to eat. I can't wait 20 minutes. Right? Well, so there you kill two birds with one stone. What about this? How many of you guys ever was at home trying to watch a movie, right? And the first thing you do is you put in a bag of microwave popcorn. My family, we only eat kettle corn. My kids love sweet. So we only eat kettle corn. You know, my son goes crazy. Come on. Come, like jumping up and down in front of the microwave. Cannot wait the 1 minute, 45 seconds. You know that popcorn button on your microwave? Cannot wait. Goes crazy. Oh, come on, come on, come on. So it's not by accident. We're kind of programmed this way, right? If anything takes too long, we tend to forget. My two biggest pet peeves, okay, in waiting: doctor's office and restaurants. Oh, okay, I'm serious. So I had to do a lot of blood tests recently, and I hate the fact that they tell you come in at 10 o'clock. All right, I'll be there 9:30. I have to go in early. I'll be there 9:30. You know when the doctor actually sees me? No. Yeah, closer to 10:50. Closer to 10:50. I was like, why didn't you have me come in at 10 o'clock? Right? Like, why are you wasting my time? What? I don't understand. I hate that. Yeah, I hate not being. It's because of blood pressure, too, that I go, and just waiting makes my blood boil. And I'm like, you guys are doing this on purpose so that you give me more drugs to take. Medication. Not drugs. Medication. So, yeah, I don't want to. Medication. I'm on a new medication. It's working really well, actually. So, but I hate that wait. I really do. Restaurants, you're over there hungry. And if it's busy, aren't you not, like, when other people get their food before you, hey, I sat down before them. How come they get food? I get mad. We live in a generation of instant gratification. We need it yesterday. Right? We need it yesterday. And the only reason why I'm saying all of these things, because just like you, I'm part of this same group, the same culture of instant gratification. See, here's the thing, though. It could be said that this generation, more than any other generation, hates to waste time, right? How many of you guys like wasting time? Sometimes, maybe, but I hate wasting time, too, because as you get older, you realize time is so fast, right? So fast. Like, if you have to wait more than 90 seconds to get your food, everything is, oh, I'm wasting time. But yet, we learned just a few minutes ago, the average person spends more than 94 minutes doing, or spends 94 hours per month, either on social network, phone, email, watching television. You know what 94.2 hours equals up to? Just about 4 days. Just about 4 days in a month. So yet we're this generation that hates wasting time, but yet we intentionally, we intentionally say, I want to do this, and we literally throw away 4 days a month to these things that probably has no significant importance. Well, I don't know, depending, right? We are social animals, and especially in high school, we have to be socially active. But other than that, there's no eternal difference in our lives. So in a sense, we act like we hate wasting time. Oh, I hate it. I hate it. Yet we gladly give away 4 days or even more to some of us, right? Who spends more time on social media, more time in front of the mirror, or whatever the case is. We spend more and more time. So with that in mind, this is why I made this story. That was the introduction. Thank you, guys. But this is all about, right, priorities. How are you going to survive your life? How are you going to do what you're going to do and the things you want to do? Because high school literally is the best time to learn these things, especially now at the beginning of a new school year. And in fact, if you want to graduate doing well, I mean, I'm not just saying getting A's, and because we all have our techniques and ways. We go to class, we do all these things. But you really want to master life and more than just a letter grade, and just really understand how everything connects with one another, we have to understand that time management is most important. And the thing is, when you guys get ready to go off to college, that's going to be really important. So next week, in 2 weeks, we'll have back to school number 3. That's for our high school graduates. Please come out. I want to preach to you guys. I want to bless you guys. I want to give you guys a charge and a challenge before you guys go. Okay, so that being said, this is the time in your lives, you high school students, to really buckle down on this idea. Because now, even though mom and dad is on top of us, we now are in a time in our life, we have more freedoms. Mom and dad is going to say, okay, what do you want to do? And they're going to actually let you do it instead of telling you what to do. So that's when we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to do with that time? And what is our lives going to look at? Because if you can't manage it this time, it's going to be harder next time. And why? Because more responsibilities, more pressures, more. If you don't believe me, ask any one of our college students who are here right now. Ask them which is harder, high school or college. Right? High school is harder? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. You have to write so much in college. You write so much. Any writing intensive class, you write, write, write. If you go to graduate school, that's literally all you do, research and write, research and write. That's all you do. I have 3 graduate degrees, okay? And everything, all it matters, or all it breaks down to, 7 years of reading and writing. That's what it is, right? But we act like we hate wasting time. So we got to act like we got to do the right things first. So as with any issue, the first thing is to understand what the Bible says. So if we can look in our Bibles, we're going to look at Psalms. So this sermon, we're going to look at 3, since it's topical, we're not going to look at a huge section of Scripture, but we're going to look at 3 specific sections of Scripture that talks about priorities and time management. And the first one I want to look for us to look at is Psalms 90:12. Psalms 90:12. And this is the first point, make God number one priority. I'll say it again. My first point is, make God your number one priority. We heard it many times. You know, it's been preached to you guys many times. Hopefully this will come to your ears in a new freshness that you guys can receive it in a better way. Okay? Psalms 90:12. And the Bible says, if you will read with me, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. My brothers and sisters, what does that mean to you? To number your days. What does it mean? Oh, very good. That, no, absolutely. That's it. Right on the nose. We're all going to die. Very good. Right? But I know. Okay, so, you know, I know it's hard. We're really young. No one, when I'm at your age, I never thought about death until my grandmother passed away. That was the only time. Other than that, I was the master of my universe. I was getting stronger every day. I was hitting the gym. I was playing all these sports. I enjoyed my life. I enjoyed my youth group. I was like literally the master of my own universe, right? So I never thought about death. I just only thought about life and how good it was, right? But imagine this, okay? I know it's hard, but imagine this. I keep telling you, if we're blessed, we get to live 80 plus years, 86 years on this God green earth, right? Say that number change. Say right now, instead of 80 years, you had 30. So that means if you're graduated high school, you're past midlife already. Now, what would you do with your life knowing only half the time you had left was already, the time you had already half is gone? That mindset would change how you think, would it not? That mindset would change how you act. That mindset, how you relate to people, how you love people, how you talk to people. All of those things changes. That's why the psalmist says in here right here, teach me to number my days. God, let me be hungry for the time I have with you right now. What I have with you right now. Would you not live in a different way? Let me explain it to you this way. Jesus Christ. I said 30 because that's a good number. Well, how many of you guys know how long Jesus Christ lived on earth? I would say about 33. Just because of the tabernacle of the feast and all these things. If you count them, it's about 33 years. That's how we get that date. Okay? That being said, do you know when Jesus did his ministry? 30. That's why I use that number 30. Because that's a special number. That's like a calling upon our lives. Like before, that was like really past midlife. Now it's like we're barely becoming an adult at 30. That's how it is. That's the reality. I sometimes feel like a real big kid at times too, and I'm 40 plus, right? So at 30, think about this. Between the ages of 30 and 33, Jesus spread not only his good news to Jerusalem, to Samaria, but his word went even to Europe, to Asia Minor, and everyone else through his missionaries, right? Do you know why that's so important? Because just as Jesus did, right, he understood that there was a great importance in what he had to do. Look at Luke chapter 22, if you will. If you guys don't know what it is, that's the narrative in Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane, right? That's the narrative of the Garden of Gethsemane. You guys remember that? God says to his disciples, come with me, let's pray together. Come with me, let's pray together. And what did they do? They fell asleep, right? Oh, pray again, stay awake, you know, pray that you're not tempted and all these things. I'm going to go back to pray. And what does he do? Jesus understood the urgency of what he had to do. He's going to take upon the sins of the world. You, me, and everyone else who will claim his name. He's about to take this entire endeavor, this great, great thing that's super hard to do. How many of you guys are willing to sacrifice your life for a loved one? Say if you have a little brother. No. Okay, let's not answer these questions. How about our future wives? Because I know if someone was going to attack Connie, if anyone was going to attack Connie, I would be the first one in line. Not to attack her, but you know what I'm saying. I'll be the first one in line to protect her because I love her. Sorry. I don't know why that came out that way. I'm sorry. But I would be the very first one to protect her. Right? So here is Jesus taking this endeavor that's so hard. He knows the passion that he has to do. He knows the love. And in fact, the Bible records it this way. He walks past Jerusalem, and literally as Jesus is looking at the city of Jerusalem, he cries. He's crying for his people because he knows that they're not going to be saved. He took it upon him because this was something serious. This was a big deal. My brothers and sisters, I challenge you. High school is a big deal. This is your battlefield. This is your mission field. This is where you will grow. And how do you do it? By making God priority. It's not going to be easy. You're going to be tempted. We talked about that in the last sermon. You're going to be challenged over and over again. And I told you, my weakness where I failed is not that I cheated, but I help other people cheat. And that's just as the same, if not worse. I'm enabling them to do that and be worse and to live their life like that. But that's where we are. Because Jesus took the time to be with God. I know my life is hard, Lord. I know you're asking me to do some crazy, crazy hard things. I'm not going to talk to my friends. I talk to them, my disciples. I talk to my homeboys, yeah. I'm not going to talk to these people and try to get insight. But Lord, I want to come to you first. That's my challenge to you guys. Whenever you're in trouble, whenever something is bothering your heart, whenever you feel like, man, I just can't handle it, go to God first. Pray it out. I had an extremely difficult week this week. And I tell you what, I was only made alive by the time I spent every day in the chapel. I am blessed where I get to be work at church. And whenever I get, you know, I want to be in front of the cross, I get down on my knees and I pray. I do this for you guys as well. Okay, why? Because I understand that I need to submit myself to God. I make that priority. So before I do anything else, and that's why I'm sorry, guys, who are part of the accountability group, if you didn't always wonder, why is sometimes comes out at 9 o'clock, sometimes at 11 o'clock, what's past? Because before I do anything else, before the first thing I do when I come in here, I say hi to all the other pastors and all the elders, and I go into the sanctuary and I pray. This is how I make God my priority. I challenge you guys to ground yourself in the same way. Pray to God and say, God, help me. Just as Jesus did. He did some incredibly hard things. And here's the irony of every one of our faiths. I mean, every single one, whether myself, co-workers, or including you guys. We love to say, I love God. Do we not? We say, oh, of course I love God. What do you mean? Of course I love. Then I challenge you. When's the last time you spent time with him? You can say church. Okay, that's great. I'm glad you have that. I really am. But there's so much more richness to it. When we understand everything that God gives us through our relationships, through our friends, everything comes into a new light. There are no more accidents. We are marvel. When I talk to you guys and when I figure some stuff out, I'm amazed how God's orchestra works. Like, you know, the symphony displays this, displays this. And like what God is doing, he's orchestrating the whole creation all at the same time. And that our lives can intertwine and interconnect. So when there's an issue, I can pray for someone. That blows my mind. That God has put me on this earth so that I can be with you and I can connect with you guys in such a way. You guys all have that passion. We should all have the desire to want to be with other people. It's part of our DNA. It's part of who we are. God made us social beings. But we have to do it with purpose. We have to do it with priority. Because yes, we can be friends and we can love each other and we can share things. But our priority has to be because we want them to come to the Lord. And yes, it might seem, oh, aren't you being like manipulative? I would say no. Because what is the alternative? Right? I talked about this during the retreat. If we're not the ones ministering to our friends, when we die and we go to heaven, and that friend we had in the eighth grade, or my best friend in college, or this guy who shared everything with my life at this time, do you just forget about them and say, I'm good with God and I don't care about them? That's not how God made us. That's why we have a cross, right? I keep saying that. The up and down line for God and me, and also this horizontal line with me and my friends. God has brought us into this world for that very purpose. Which leads me to my second point. Prioritize the things in life. So our next bit of our next bit of scripture. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at 15 through 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. And the Bible says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Make most of your time, because the days are evil. Verse 17. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That is a saying that every Christian asks God. God, what is the will of your, what is your will for my life? And especially in high school, we're challenged with these ideas. Even more so when we in college, but college, we have understanding what we want to be and what our talents and gifts are, so God gives us these blessings, right? But in high school, the world is yours. You don't have to specify, I want to go to this college, because that's what happens when you go to college. I want to study engineering. So literally all your classes are engineering. You know what's great about college? You know how many different subjects you can study? Like literally, you look at, open a course book and you see every underwater basket weaving if you're into that. It's a joke. I just did a lot of these one. My grade point average wasn't the greatest to go to graduate school, so I took a lot of these one credit classes, and that's why I laugh, because that's how I raised my GPA. They were PE classes or art classes, and literally that's how I raised my GPA. My core stuff was good. It was just dollars. Anyway, we don't have to get into that. But that's the point. All right? We have this opportunity where we can study anything you want. You have this opportunity to know what God wants for you. So this is my challenge to you guys. Explore everything. Don't limit yourself. You know, God's blessings, we tend to think it's so small. Like, God can only bless me if I do this. Really? I bet you God would bless you whatever you do, as long as you give him the glory. Is that not what we're called to do? You can do anything with your life. If you know, us being Asians, I would highly recommend we study very well math and science. Just because, you know. But other than that, if not, some of us can be writers. I had a former student who's now a journalist for CNN. Yeah. She went to Stanford. She's uber genius though. But now she travels the world. She's 24 years old. She travels the world, goes to all these crazy places. Sunny and Connor. Connor, the brother is uber genius too. He went to Juilliard. He's now like top 10 cellists in the nation. Like, he's like crazy. So their family is really gifted. But that's what I'm saying. These are the challenges in life. And how you embrace them is this time in high school. What you want to be, how you want to do it, this is the time to embrace these ideas and make it yours, so that this will be a footprint or a path or a map for the rest of your life. You say, I want to do this. You're going to take the steps to get to that, right? And that's where we are. So let me ask you this. Have you guys ever missed a test or had a test and didn't study for it? Yeah, I bet everyone. I've done that a few times too. And by the grace of God, we pray, oh, Lord Jesus, please help me. Please give me the wisdom to do well on this test. Is that not how we pray? Yes. But here's the funny thing, right? I don't know if he doesn't listen to us. I would say it this way. He's probably laughing in heaven. my son. You know, like a happy father, kind of annoyed, but happy father, just laughing, ha, ha, ha. Like, you know, I already, you know, as you pray, help me, daddy. He's like, I already helped you. He's going to say, look, my son, my daughter, that thing in between your ears, in the skull, your brain, yes. I gave you something called that, God is going to say. Right? I gave you something like that. You can use it. Right? Instead of saying, oh, God, and all of these things, and ultimately, you know what God is going to say? And let's go back to my very first point, time management. He's going to say, I gave you 8 hours after school. What did you do with it? and you come to me now praying, oh God, help me. It's funny how we use God like that. But that's the point here, right? That's what we're talking about, because it's all about understanding this will for God. That's what we talked about. And this is where we explore it. And here's the thing. Don't rip God off. And this is what I mean by that. God says, I want to give you these talents. That's what the classes are for. That's why you learn. That's why, certain things you're going to take real naturally, right? And those are God-given talents and things, right? Some of us are just naturally good. Oh, for example, my friend Noy, he's so irritating. He's like this tall, but he hammers the driver like 320 yards. Like, he's small dude, but he hammers it. And he shot par his very first year playing golf. Yeah, he's self-taught too. And oh, so some people are going to be naturally better than you. Don't be jealous, or at least not too much. Because I hate it when I golf with him. He's just literally like this big. And I'm a big, proud guy. And anyway. So God's going to give you these things. And it's our job to understand how we're going to find out what we're going to do. I can guarantee you this. If we're wasting our days watching YouTube, if we're wasting our days watching Netflix, and as I'm saying these things to you guys, I'm speaking to myself. Okay? As we waste our time in life and all these other things, video games, man, we missed the point. Because the Bible says here in this verse, make the most of every opportunity. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So if we're challenged and we don't know what God's will is, I challenge you this. Right, way back when, there was the WWJD, right? You guys remember what that says? What would Jesus do, right? What would Jesus do? So my challenge to you guys is this. When you guys are doing something, whatever it is, don't say, what would Jesus do? Ask this. Am I glorifying God? Ask one simple question. Am I glorifying God in what I'm doing? And if you can't justify it in a real way, like, sometimes we do go pretty crazy things, like, so not eating chocolate or eating chocolate cake, right? This is the justification. I know I'm on a diet. I know I have, I'm pre-diabetic and I have high blood pressure, but check this out. God loves me, right? And because God loves me, he wants to give me good things, right? I love good things too. Do I not? Why wouldn't anyone love good things? So because I love good things, I'm going to eat this piece of cake because it's going to make me feel good about my life and myself, and because God wants me to have. So I'm not saying justify it like that, but legitimately like this. I have an earnest interest in, I don't want to use engineering or doctor, but those are the only two things that pop into my mind, so I'm sorry, I'm going to use it. So I'm going to be an engineer, right? I want to be an engineer. Right? So if you want to be an engineer, aren't you going to take engineering classes? Aren't you going to take math classes, science classes, and all these other things? This is my proof to you. Make God that priority. Make him your focus. And then everything else kind of just lines up, because that's what we want to be. So those of you guys who tell yourselves, I want to be a Christian, or I want to understand what the Lord's will is, and I don't want to be foolish, I do want to make all of these best of opportunities. How do you do it? One way and one way only. Spend time with him. It goes back to that. Relationships don't happen in a vacuum, my friends. It does not. It's hard work to build a relationship. It's hard work. Hard work. Some of us are naturally good at it. Others may need a little bit more help in it. But it's hard work to build relationship. And the only way to know what God's will for our lives is to spend time with God. I'm telling you, my most intimate time, and I shared this with you guys, but I feel like I have to share again, was when my Old Testament class. Remember I said I got a 76, and they're like, oh, it's not that bad. I was like, no, that's a D minus in graduate's curve. That's like a D minus, yeah. I never got a D minus in anything I turned in. Like, I failed outright because I didn't turn something in, but I never turned in something in that was below like a B minus or something like that. I think it's probably like 93 or 94. No, it's graduate's curve, it's different. So they literally said, if you want an A, you have to be able to teach this material to me. And these are doctors, we call them doctor, Dr. So-and-so, Dr. No, it's always intimidating. But there was a few times some students that were really good in theology, they stood up and, oh, teacher said you do get an A, like literally. But the Bible says, make the most of every opportunity. If you're not spending time with him, how are you going to know him? And how do you know what he's going to want from you? In order to do this, we go to my last point. Hold yourself accountable. James 4:14. Last bit of scripture. James 4:14 says it this way. Oh, this is harsh. Read it with me, my brothers and sisters. And the Bible says, why, you who do not know what will happen tomorrow, what is your life? You are a mist that disappears for a little while and then vanishes. This is kind of harsh to read, is it not? That means everything that we're concerned about in our lives, right? The good, the bad, the happy, the sad, everything, literally everything in our life, our friendships, our children, the people we love, our jobs, our titles, whatever it is. Everything we strive our lives to be, right? I want to have a good life. I study hard so I can do this, so I can do this, so I have a good life. Everything that we were working hard for, what the Bible says, is nothing. I know, right? Well, I don't know if it's a waste. Because in that, there's a process of learning about God, and we get close to him, and we live life together with him, right? Literally, in the grand scheme of things, all of our hopes, dreams, and wishes are just a blimp. Nothing. A speck of time that's going beep, and it's gone. That's what it is to God. So in other words, whatever we do, whatever our plans are, however we want to be, right? Why are we making the most absolute of them? Okay? I'm not saying don't take them seriously. Absolutely. This is your season to be students, so study hard. But just understand that what we think is our end game might not be actually what it is. In fact, sometimes God will use that, our end game, and say, no, my son or daughter, that was just the first step. And then he leads us to next and next and next. Believe me, that's how I was. That's how I got into ministry. I was just a helper in a youth group. And my brother said, I'm going to pray for you so you go into ministry. I said, yeah, you're crazy. God will never use me. 2 years later, I was in seminary school. I don't know. God works that way, right? Just a blimp of time. Because here's the truth. If we value anything in this world, like anything, our lovers, our friends, our children, our job, if we love anything more in this world than we do God, we miss the point of life. See? Because it's not like God doesn't say you're not supposed to experience these things. No, we are to experience all these experiences, but they have a purpose. These experiences helps us to understand who God is and our relationship to him. For example, if you're being blessed, is God not saying, look, I love you. I'm going to take care of you financially. If you're healthy, is God not saying, look, I love you and I will protect you from harm and evil? If we have family, is God not saying, I'm protecting you and your core unit? Even though we fight with each other, even though sometimes mom and dad fight, even though we don't, we're still family. God has given us all these things. And we miss the point if we love the experiences of life more than the one who gives us the experience of these lives. That's how we know. Because just like we can miss the picture with God, we totally can miss the picture with life too. Because truth is, we can live our lives without God, can we not? In fact, I would say most of us, we live our lives without God. In fact, I would say most of us would say, I come to church on Sunday, I love God on Sunday, but you know what, on the rest of the days when I have to do stuff, when I have to be a student, when I have to be a brother or sister, I'm going to do it my way. We may not say it, but we act that way. And we miss the picture of even those relationships. Because yes, we can live life without God, but there's so much that we're missing out on. There's so much fullness, so much richness of life that can make us feel like, man, I'm so content. And you know, we miss it so much here because if you go on missions, especially you go to Ensenada, any of these poor places where they have nothing, why are they so happy? Genuinely have joy in their hearts. While we over here, man, I hate this. There's too much pressure in my life. Why do we live like that, my brothers and sisters? Because we miss the picture of what God was trying to give us. He's saying, yes, all these things you will experience, but they are for my glory. Go through them, you'll see the blessings at the end. It's hard, right? It's hard to live our lives for a promise of a future. In the beginning of this sermon, I said, we all live for instant gratification. I need it now. Right? I need it now, especially in a restaurant. I need it now. I'm hungry. Right? But we miss that boat. And just like in when we miss that boat with God and just living our lives and not having the riches, our lives too will not be fulfilled and rich. If you don't believe me, why are the highest statistical rate of suicide are the most affluent people? Because they put all their emphasis on stuff, money, power. I want more power. I want more money. There's no contentment in life. I need more and more. In fact, the only thing that's going to make me happy is if I get more stuff. How many of you guys have a home full of stuff? My home is my stuff. What are you talking about, Pastor? Amen. Right? But that's the point. Right? That's the point. We lose out on the richness and the fullness. Because we can get by, we can live, but we miss what God's intent for it, all of it was. So I'm going to conclude here, because I have to conclude here. So this is how to make the most of your time. I'm going to say, number one, make God your priority no matter what. No matter how busy you get, no matter how much you have to do, no matter what it is that you're doing with your time, make spending time with God number one. Okay? If that means you have to get up earlier, get up earlier. Praise team, God bless you guys. These guys were here at 8 o'clock in the morning before any pastor or elder. Straight up. They're putting their heart and soul into this, okay? Number two, prioritize the things in your life. Make the number one thing feel like the number one thing. Yes, I get it. School is your priority. So study hard. Do these things, but don't ever say school is more important to God. At the very least, frame your mind like this. Okay, God, so much stuff this year. Wow, what's going on? But God, I know it's going to be tough, but I trust you. I trust you that in my life, you're bringing good things that I can grow. So God, I will go through this. I will do my best, not for the letter grade, because I do want a letter grade. So God, being real with God, God, I need that A. Come on, dude. Right? But you can tell him, God, I want to live my life for you. That means everything I do, like Paul says, whatever I eat, whether I drink, I do for Lord God. I'm not saying over-spiritualize everything, but do it. Bring God into everything that you do. And if you have a hard time doing it, pray before you do it. And then that's how you do it. You know, that's why pastors are always praying, because they put God into everything. And that's the truth. And lastly, hold yourself accountable. Whatever you schedule yourself to do, pray over it. Say, God, this thing. Remember we talked schedule. I got to write my schedule. Whatever these things are, God, let me do my best. Because I want this to be all about you. And I promise you, my brothers and sisters, it's a challenge. I get it. It's hard to live your life as a Christian, especially one who really walks the walk and talks the talk. I get it. But you want to know how people do this? There was a superstar in every group, right? You know how they do it? They spend that time with God. It's not like, oh, God just made them extra holy. No. They just made the priority to make God number one. That's the only difference between anyone's relationship with God. If they have a closer relationship with God, you know why? It's not by accident. It's because they work on that relationship. So that's my challenge to you guys. Is that a spider? Okay. So God calls us to live life in abundance. You have heard, this is where I close, you have heard that saying YOLO, right? YOLO. You only live once. YOLO, Y-O-L-O. Not yellow, YOLO, 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 Y-O-L-O. You never heard of that? Oh, I don't know. I thought of it as I got to do something really big. So go nuts, right? Go nuts. So you have heard that saying, you only live once, and if not, you heard it today, okay? It's usually a sounding board for someone who's hardcore and wants to do something crazy, and they yell, YOLO! I said it a few times when I did cliff jumping. It's an old saying, right? YOLO! So here's the thing, my friends. This year, you guys are going to be challenged to do many, many different things. And you're going to be things that you, there's going to be things that you're going to want to do. There are things that are going to be forced upon you because you have to do them. And there are the things that God is going to call you to. And it can pile up really quick, my friends. And sometimes when you're in high school, and I've heard it in prayer meetings, I heard it here, I heard it from your mouths, you're going to feel overwhelmed and you're going to feel like, man, I can't handle it. And you're going to come to a point where you're going to even maybe feel that church is the cause of this pressure and all of these things to you. When that moment comes, my friends, I challenge you to get on your knees and pray to God, God, show me your will. And I can guarantee you, he will never say, yeah, don't come to church. You know, church, yeah, you don't need it. He will never say that. In fact, if you're hurting, if you need some kind of healing, if you need anything that's outside of your control, the only place that you can have this help is here. Because here, you'll have brothers and sisters who pray for you. If you guys have problems, I challenge you guys to come out to Wednesday night prayer meeting. You know, I'm amazed because everyone says, oh, pray for this test, pray for this test. And every time we feedback, oh, I got an A. So I don't know if my prayers are because you guys get A or because you guys are just really good students and you just need a little bit of support. Either way, God bless you guys for coming in. That's my challenge. Come into here, pray together. Let's do these things, okay? High school is 4 years of your life. Make the most of it, okay? You're not going to repeat it. I pray you don't repeat it, at least, right? Learn to manage your time, my brothers and sisters. Pray with me. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your blessings and all that you do. Father, we ask for your presence in this time, Lord. As we go off to high school or as we started high school, Lord, I ask that you would prepare our hearts and minds for our future, Lord. Let us not look at the things that we do now as just simple tasks, but, Father, as footsteps to go to our future, Lord. And it is said that every travel of a 10,000 miles starts with a single footstep. So, Father, I pray that you would help them to start off right, that every step would be in you, that their focus, their hearts, their whole essence and being, Lord, that our youth would call out to your name, Abba, Father. Lord, bless us. Help us to know your will in our lives and help us to grow in Jesus Christ. We love you. We thank you and praise you, Father. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have to do an announcement.